Thessalonians chapter 2 in your Bibles and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul's recounting to this church how the gospel came to them, and he reminds them of the impact of the word a number of times in chapter 1 and chapter 2. But he says in verse 13 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received what? The word of God, which ye," what's the next words? "Heard of us." So the word of God, it was heard. "Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And you know that I hear people say often, "Oh, that book is just a collection of what men say." Have you heard that before? Don't ever believe that for a moment, Christian. Don't ever believe that that's just a men's ideas alone book. If that's all it has no power and it is not alive. It is more than that. The Word of God is not just a collection of a bunch of men's ideas. The Word of God is the living Word. It is the Word that when these people believed it, it effectually worked in their life. The word powerful comes to mind. That's actually the same word that's used in our chapter, Hebrews chapter 4. It's quick and powerful. That's the idea of effectual working here. This is not something that is dead. It is something that actually can impact us. If you've trusted Christ, you had to hear the truth from the Word of God that you were a sinner, that you needed Christ. Did the Word of God affect you? Did it work powerfully in you? Yeah, because it's alive. The Word of God is not dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So the Word of God is alive. You know, every time you pick up your Bible or your app that has the Bible on it, okay, some of you read Bible apps, there's nothing wrong with that. The Word of God is alive. You ought to expect it to be. That the Word of God is able to show you things and change your view. And that's what God intends for it to do, to be alive, to be quick. It's powerful, as I already mentioned. In Jeremiah 23, 29, the Bible says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" When you think of fire or a hammer, do you think of something that has, even at times, destructive effects for a purpose that is bigger than that moment? The Word of God is not to be used for inspirational purposes only. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Many times people take the Word of God and only look for things that just make them feel good for a moment. Kind of the, I call it the warm and fuzzies. Well, that just, God encouraged me through that truth. And you need encouragement, so do not hear me wrong. It is a book of inspiration, of encouragement, of truth. But there are things that you and I need in the Word of God that will be like a hammer. What does a hammer do? It pounds things. In their day, the molding of metal wasn't done in factories with big molds and machines. You took a piece of metal and you pounded that piece of metal. If it was a spear or it was a sword or any kind of shield, there was a lot of pounding that went into the molding of that piece. Now, the end result looked amazing. But did it take a lot of pounding before it got to the end result? Yes. Now, I don't mean to say that you're going to pick up your Bible every day this week and you're just going to get whacked and whacked and whacked. That's not what I mean. But are there things that I need to be? No. No. Yes. That's what the Word of God is going to do. It's going to shape. It's going to have an impact. It's like fire. Fire is used to heat things up so that they become moldable. And heat is a good thing in that sense. But sometimes we don't like the heat, do we? We don't like the pounding. we should view God's word as that which God uses to mold and forge and shape us more into the image of his Son. And how does he do that? How is it possible to do that? You know, this idea of it being sharp like a two-edged sword, that's the part that I don't always like. If the word of God was not sharp like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, we might like to think of it as something like you would shave with, and it just takes care of superficial things, but not internal things. Isn't it far easier just to take care of superficial things? I mean, what other people see? Yeah, I can do that. I can do at least that much. God is not interested in the superficial. He is interested in the internal, the inner part of you. And that inner part of you being, this is what is not right and this is what is right. You need to see this internally, not on an external level only. I think sometimes we're more interested in just trying to conform externally to the ideas that we either have from others or the ideas that we even have from the Word of God. I'll do that externally, but God's Word, its purpose, as stated here, is to go down deep. It is to go down deep. That word, that idea of being sharp as a sword, it will go down deep and it will divide between spiritual and soul. See what it says again in verse number 12. Go back to our passage, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The soulish things, the part of you that is flesh, the part of you that is natural in its thinking, and the part that is spiritual. And there are things that are motivations in our hearts and our minds that are purely motivated out of just, this is the way I've always done things. Carnal-mindedness. All right? There are a whole lot of things you can do in your flesh. There are. There are all kinds of things you can do in your flesh. God is interested in you seeing spiritually what he wants. The children of Israel and their missing out on the promised land, what was it that needed to change? Their outlook internally about who? About God. Faith in God, not faith in circumstances. The circumstances saw the giants, it saw the walls, it saw everything that was there, and it did not internally see, you know what? This is an impossibility to us in our natural abilities. God, you are a God who works supernaturally. I will trust you. The book of Hebrews is overflowing with an emphasis on faith. That Christ is better is one aspect, but that because he is, why would I not but trust him? Why would I not but have faith in what he is doing and what his design is for me? It is a sharp sword. In Acts chapter 2, remember at Pentecost when Peter preached and he declared the word, he declared the truth. The Bible says, now when they had heard this, they were pricked where? In their heart, and said Peter and to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was an internal, a complete dividing between here's what we've been thinking in our flesh, and here is a spiritual truth that means I need help, and God's Son is the one I just crucified. I need to not be thinking this way, but this way. What pointed that out at their inner point? The Word of God. A gospel tract, like we saw tonight, is only as powerful as it declares the Word of God. It's not a funny story. It's not a cool outline or illustration. It's the Word of God that's in that tract that's going to change someone's life. That's what you and I have the privilege of sharing with others. It's what God used to convince you of your need of Christ. But it's also that which God wants to work in our lives as believers to mold us more and more into the image of Christ, to mold us more and more. And there's going to be daily decisions made that either are going to be the Word of God is so flooding my mind and my heart that I see things and I know that's not how I ought to think. Do you remember what David prayed in Psalm 139? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Why did David pray that? Do you think David already knew that God knew his heart? Yeah. You know what praying that way is? That is a prayer of surrender to the fact that God does already know my heart. And that God, if you show me things that are not in the right place, I'm willing to let you change them. You know, if I don't pray, God, as I open your word today, I want you to show me what's not right in my thinking. You know, I'll read a whole bunch of words and do nothing with it. I think we do that often. We even come to preaching sometimes, and we hear a preacher preaching and sharing the word of God, and we've not come with the heart attitude, God, search me, try me, know me. If there's things that aren't right, I want you to show it to me. I want to see it. I'm willing. I'm surrendered to what you will show me. If you're not surrendered to God showing you anything, guess what? You're not going to see a thing. You'll live in unbelief. You'll keep on depending upon yourself, and you will miss out. You want to miss out? No. I want to not miss out on what God has provided for me. And I don't want to get to the other side and into eternity and realize how much more I could have been yielded to His Spirit, and I was not in His Word to know what I was not yielded in the right ways and the right thinking towards. God wants us as His people to know what is spiritual and what is not. And the Word of God points that out. It points out faithless motives. The Word of God points out faithlessness. Faithless service. By the way, faithless service, faithless motives, those are soulish things. They're carnal, okay? There's nothing about that that brings glory to God. When I, by faith, say, God, this is what your word says. I trust you for it. I yield myself to you. I'm giving myself to depending upon you. And you know what? You're going to need to do that throughout the day. Just this morning on the way to church, our kids were talking about something, and one of the conversations revolved around, you know what? Sometimes we don't actually practice this like we should, and the stress level increases. And you know what? Can your pastor be stressed sometimes? Well, ask my kids. They'll tell you I can be. What happens when I get stressed? How does that take place? And this is the honest answer. It takes place when I do not take the Word of God and appropriate it to the situation at hand. All right? In everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. All right, I'm hurried, worried, frustrated about something. Have I prayed about it? Well, if I didn't, what should I expect other than frustration, worry, stresses? All right, the answer is not, let's find some method that the world offers to deal with stress. Okay, no. What is the Bible's answer? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, I know that verse, Pastor, but, you know, I did that last week. Well, do it again. In fact, the conversation in our car today was, I'm not doing it at the moment. And it's revealing that because Dad's not living in the peace that God intends for Dad to live in at that moment. Do you ever find that that happens throughout the day? That your motivation in a moment can change. That in a moment you're not living in accordance to Bible truth. You're living in your flesh. Hey, you're going to need to see that over and over and over again throughout this week and throughout this coming year. God, I need your word constantly flowing through my thinking and through my life so that when things come up, I quickly see this isn't spiritual. This is carnal. This doesn't belong. And own it, admit it, and get back to spiritual thinking and living and operating. Do you like to stay in a position of carnality? I tell you, the more that you let the Word of God divide out things that are carnal and spiritual, the more you're going to be excited about trusting God for more. What comes after this passage in Hebrews chapter 4? Verse number 14. Notice what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, what's the next word? Tempted. Like as we are, yet without sin. Okay, who is better than any priest at helping us through difficulties? Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the perfect high priest for us. So verse 16 then says what? Let's read verse 16 together. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I believe that the Word of God's impact in your life on a daily basis is directly connected to your impact and involvement with prayer on a daily basis and throughout the day. If I don't see that I'm living carnally by the Word of God's influence in my life and the dividing that it has and the showing me, you're not living faith-filled right now. You're living self-filled, self-reliant here. As long as I stay self-reliant, guess who I don't call on? I don't pray. Do you, when you're self-reliant, find that it's your immediate thing to pray? Or does that seem to be down the road a little bit once you've messed up a little bit further, a little bit further? You know, carnality does not need to be five steps of foolish thinking. It needs to be an immediate, this is wrong, I can be right with God right now. I can be surrendered to that which He desires. Christ is the way by which we access all the power of God. His victory and His inheritance for us, it's in Christ. You realize that, church, don't you? Christ is our victory. Christ is the way that you have victory in the spirit, in the life that you have daily. The Spirit-filled life, the Christ life, that is all that He has already afforded for us. It is yours. It's promised. There's nothing left for you to do to have it except believe, faith, depend upon Him. I know I've emphasized faith a lot lately, but you received Christ by faith. How do you walk? By faith. All right, so this year, walk by faith by opening your Bible, expecting that the Word of God is going to reveal things that are fleshly that need to go and that are spiritual that you need to walk in. Expect that the Word of God is going to divide out even your intentions, your motives, why you're doing what you're doing. Because you don't know it. Do I know my motives? What is my heart? I mean, the soulish part of me, it's deceptive. You ever found yourself deceiving yourself? Well, I've got more time. How many of you have ever said that one before? I've got more time. I'll get to that later. And you did not pray about it. I know that's like, Pastor, do you mean you pray about everything? I do a lot more effectively in my day when I do. Deciding about even who I'm going to spend time ministering with and how I'm going to do that. Do you realize that you will live either by your wit and your ability and your, boy, I'm cunning and savvy about that. And guess who gets the glory there? The Holy Spirit does not, because you did a bunch of things in your flesh. And it can look impressive to people for a while. It can even be the thing that you've relied on for years. Stop. Let the Word of God reveal what He wants you to do and enjoy the inheritance. You know, it's called rest for a reason. Jesus said, what? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't mean that there's no difficulties involved. He's the one supporting and enabling it all the way through the suffering or the difficulties or whatever it is. It's on your shoulders or His, one or the other. In my flesh, guess who they're all on? Oh, man. And the weight gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And I try and I keep failing and I get discouraged. And that is not where God intends for me to live. God intends for us to live by faith. And God intends for us to know the joy of coming to the throne of grace. I tell you, church family, the more that you are in the Word of God, the more you're going to want to pray. The more that you're in the Word of God and seeking not just to get it accomplished for the day, but to know something of God and what it is that needs to change in me. God, how do you want me to think differently? How do you want me to see things differently? And you let Him impact the way that you see things and view things. You're not going to be afraid or frustrated with going to Him in prayer because He's pointed out things that need to change. And I hope that that'll define our church into this coming year. I hope that maybe many of you would say, you know what, I've been living in that for years, Pastor, and it's been a joy to live in surrender to God's Spirit and let His Word show me what is carnal and what is spiritual. That's been a joy for me, Pastor, and I'm excited that others might enjoy that too. Maybe this is like the first time you've thought of it in that way, that the Word of God is supposed to point things that are different, things that are not what God wants and things that are what God desires. And you would surrender to saying, God, that's how I want to look at your word this year. I'm willing to let it point out, and I'm willing to be yielded to what it shows. Sometimes that hammer or that fire is uncomfortable. There are things that the Word of God is going to point out. Recently someone said to me, Pastor, your preaching sometimes bothers me. And it's okay, but I don't like it. And this is a young Christian, and I appreciate his honesty, because he's saying what oftentimes we don't say. I need it, but I don't like it. That's the truth. My kids don't like their vegetable. Well, most all of them do, actually. They don't like certain things, though, and they need it. I have weird kids. They all like vegetables. You need to eat your potatoes. What? Who has to tell their kids that? Well, I have a couple like that. Hey, they need it because it's good for them. You need to do it. I will tell you that God's word is good for us. It is not bad. It is not to be avoided. It is the place where victory will come from. And let's expect that this year. Now, would you bow with me for prayer tonight? I know this is a simple truth, but it's one that I believe can have a profound impact if you will let God's word reveal naturally or spiritually motivated things in your inner life. Maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, I have not come to the Word of God or my reading of the Word of God expecting that God's Word would show me things that are carnal and things that are spiritual, and I need to let God do that. I want that to be how I let the Word of God work in my life this year. If that is what God's intent is for His Word to show me things. The Word of God is spoken of as a mirror in the book of James. I don't always see myself correctly, but I'm willing to let the Word of God show me what God wants me to see this new year. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me that that would define my time in God's Word this year? I want God to show me things that I haven't seen. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want God's Word to show me things that I haven't seen so that I'll be what He wants me to be. Yeah, great. Fantastic. Friend, I don't doubt that if you have that prayer as you go to the Word of God every day, your spiritual life is going to change. It's going to take off this year. It'll take off tonight because you're yielded to what God wants. It's the attitude of Psalm 139. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, I've had this attitude, and I have seen numerous times in my life in the past where the Word of God is pointed out between carnal and spiritual, and I praise God for that. I'm thankful for that. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm thankful for that. God has shown me that in the past, and I thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Continue in that. Expect the same thing this year. And don't be hesitant to talk about that. To talk about the Word of God being effectual. That it isn't pastor sermon or a devotional book that you read, but that the Word of God impacted your life. And share that. And share the truth of what that change was with others. Don't get tired of that. Don't think that people are going to be kind of bored with hearing that the Word of God impacted you. No, rejoice in it. And then thirdly, and I think finally tonight, are you praying because you know God desires you to come boldly like you could? Or is there a need for there to be both the Word of God showing you things and also to be increasing your dependency upon the Lord in prayer? You'd say, Pastor, I desire for this year to know God more through His Word, but then what I know, I want to talk to Him more. I desire to talk to God more in prayer this year. and I want to grow in that. If that's you, just raise your hand. That's a desire of mine, Pastor. I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord this year by talking to Him more, communicating with Him more. Praise the Lord. I'm convinced, church, the more that you're in His Word, looking to see what He wants to change, that He will have a great, you will have a greater amount of communion with the Lord. Your fellowship with the Lord will be so much sweeter. And I pray that you'll know that in this year. Lord, thank you for your working tonight in our church family. I pray for myself that in this coming year, your word would be a continual source of direction, of revealing, of reproof, of even fire and hammer that would shape and that would mold my thinking, Lord, that it would be surrendered to you. I pray, Lord, that you would grow me this year. I pray that you would grow our church this year spiritually. And Lord, that we would be communicating with you even more as we yield to what your word shows us, that we would have the attitude that would say, here am I, send me, I'm yours, I see you correctly, so I give myself totally to you. And Lord, I pray that you'll help our young people with that, you'll help our teens with that, you'll help us as young adults and middle age and those that are senior saints, that you will use this year in our lives as we're in your word for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.